Did you know improving your communication can double your net worth? Just because it's not your title doesn't mean you're not in sales. You are. Lloyd Day created and has taught this communication training for 30 plus years. Macy McNeely, Lloyd's daughter, and Catherine Schubert, a founding student, were struggling entrepreneurs who, after going under his wing and seeing their businesses quadruple, knew that this was the missing piece for so many others. That's how the Guide Culture Training started and has taught over 500 students in just 2 short years. Sales is guiding people into a decision that is best for them. Guide Culture is not sales training, it's life training. We are a group of completely bought-in sales professionals who persuade for good. Here are your hosts, Macy, Loy, and Catherine.
Hey, we have a bonus episode for you today, and it is such a treat. It is from Coach Lloyd Day, and it's actually pulled from one of his Clubhouse rooms. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but he actually hosts a room in Clubhouse called the School of Sales every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it's at 10 a.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, and then 7 a.m. Pacific Time, and it has been so valuable for people. I mean, that room is full consistently every single time he is on. So go ahead and put that time on your calendar. We post links on our Instagrams to the room, like the current room, in real time. So right at 10 a.m. Eastern, like, we put swipe up links so that you can just jump to the room very, very easily. Invite your friends, invite your team, invite your fellow entrepreneurs. He's been bringing so much amazing, encouraging mindset content, but also sales content, so that you can really win in your business. Hey, if you're listening to this live, you should know that the 8-week online signature program is officially open. I want to make sure you get your seat. You know, we only open a few times a year, and this is one of those special times, and we take a very limited amount of students. I think about, you know, the year 2021, you know, we're coming up to that halfway mark, and there's a chance that you thought about joining Guide Culture in January when it opened for the first time. And I know I'm actually talking to a lot of you right now, and you're kind of like, wow, I'm actually in the same spot. You know, I waited last time because I just needed to get my feet underneath me. I needed to get my mindset right. I needed to get my program right. I needed to get my stuff created. I needed to get my stuff launched. And I'm actually in the same exact spot that you found me a few months ago. And that's really breaking my heart. That is like the last thing that I want for you. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, a body in motion stays in motion. And there's a chance that you're thinking like, hey, I need to just get all this stuff done before I can make the investment. But chances are making that investment is the thing that's going to move the body to keep it in motion and really start to give you that momentum and that traction. Not to mention, you are going to learn the one skill that when you put your head down, you're going to look up, and it's actually going to make you money. There's been so many people that have taken Guide Culture, and within just a couple of weeks after Guide Culture, they make a few sales and they're like, wow, I've already gotten my money back, and I just want that for you. So if that's you, if you have thought about being in Guide Culture in January, and you're looking at April right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm literally in the same seat, that is the very reason to move forward this time. I do not want 2021 to end where you're in the same place that you were at the beginning of 2021. There's no way that that is happening to you. So save time, see if it's a good fit. Go ahead and message me on Instagram. If you already know, jump in. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you inside of Guide Culture.
This is the session about fishing. The story for me, I mean, well, let's just read it. If you give a man a fish, he will eat for a day. You teach him how to fish, and he will eat for a lifetime. And then Jesus, that's a Chinese proverb. But if you go see what Jesus said about all this, he said, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, for me, that's a little bit of a magnetic thing, because I feel like when you do follow him, then people are attracted to you. I believe that. I believe he brings the magnetic effect to everyone. But let's just go talk a little bit more about the proverb. That particular proverb was repeated to me during the days that I was trying to find my way. I just heard Hubert Humphrey talking about looking for driven, determined dreamers. Driven, determined dreamers. That's exactly what I was. I was driven and determined, and I had a dream. I had a vision. I had something I wanted to go to. And that's what we, if we have that, if we are those three things, then we got to go find the way. And he calls it, you know, put on your trying engine, that you continue to try. You keep trying things, keep trying. Don't give up, keep trying. As long as you're trying, you'll find a way. But for me, part of my trying was get around people that were already doing it, that had some things that I was after, and it was the ability to go fish for yourself. That's what I was after. But you get around these people, sometimes they start just trying to pay your way, you know, send you on a trip, let me do this, let me buy you this, let me buy lunch, let me whatever. They're trying to buy your way. And I was like, no, I don't want you to pay my way. I want to be able to pay my own way. I need to know how to fish and eat for a lifetime. And I'm not looking for this one little meal or one little summer program or one job. I'm looking for a lifetime of opportunity. And so this little record kept playing over and over and over in my head. This proverb did. And so I was kind of focused on it, and which led to what we're doing in guide culture. Now, if you think about, let's think about paying your own way versus other people paying your way in situations. Anytime someone's paying your way, there's some authority, some obligation they have over you. Think about why in the bars do the guys try to buy the girls a drink? Why whenever you, the obligation follows money. Whenever someone pays for anything, there comes an obligation from the other end. It's just there. It follows the money. So when you're in a position that you are in control of the money, then you can control, you know, who's an obligated to. We talk about that with the sales and guide culture and all that. If we take the money from you, we have an obligation to deliver. That's when we talk about give value and abundance, give so much more than what you get paid for. And that's where the, because with the right heart, we know that the money follows the obligation, and we want to over deliver in that situation. So let's just talk about the caged lion, because at the time I felt like a caged lion. You ever feel like a caged lion? Like you want to get out, you want to hunt, you want to go do something. You're that dreamer. And once you get out and learn how to do this stuff, then you are a free lion. It's the difference between being caged and free. And that's why it's so important to know how to fish so you can go out, or how to hunt, so you can go out there and be a free lion. Because we're talking about, you know, entrepreneurship and business ownership and all that. Really what people are after is the freedom. Is the freedom. And the beautiful thing about it is you like work where you play, and you play where you work. You're out there, you know, you're the lion on the prowl, and you can be playing or working, but you're in control no matter what, because you can do what you want to do once you understand how to fish for yourself or how to hunt for yourself. You could call this a hunting analogy as well. I had a young man yesterday stop by the office. He was in that very exact situation. He was in the insurance business, but he was trapped a little bit. He was trapped. And that's what happens. See, sometimes we get in a situation to where we get a job, we get a little money, you know, we're kind of dependent upon that situation. Then we get some obligations, we get some debt, some kids, whatever. We get some obligations, and now we're trapped. You know, we got a certain amount of money coming in, we have some obligations, and we're trapped. We can't get away. And that's kind of where he was. He's like, you know, I know I need to go do more. I've got this thing working at State Farm, Liberty Mutual or somewhere. And he says, I'm trying to rip the Band-Aid and go. And I said, you know, I said, the one thing that as humans that we are is we are resilient. And when you get your back against the wall, you will come out fighting. No question about it. If that lion is in the jungle and he's hungry, he'll come out fighting. He'll go find something to eat. And the same way with us, if we'll take the risk and put our back against the wall, we can come out fighting. But there's a little bit of confidence and self-esteem that goes in there with that. And you get this confidence and self-esteem, you get the confidence from some wins. You know, you need to, because once you believe and know you can do it, then you just go do it. You know, you can take that jump from the cage to the free to the wild, because you know you can hunt successfully. And the self-esteem, I was just listening to Hubert Humphrey on this, and his story is so similar to mine, it's not even funny. Now, he went much bigger than I did, but his story is so similar. And they asked him, well, where does self-confidence come from? He said, from wins, from knowing you can do it. Well, they said, well, where does self-esteem come from? And he said, it comes from God, knowing you're the child of God, knowing you're accepted, you're perfect, you're made just the way you are by the Creator. That's where your value, your self-esteem, you know you're valuable, comes from. And then you start acting upon that and doing things and getting some confidence along the way. Then you get the confidence, and then you start freeing yourself from the cage. So this learning how to fish is critical so you can feed yourself for a lifetime, and it's the ability to go out and hunt and do things. And in our society today, so much of this is sales, it's people skills, it's being able to do these things, make good decisions, and all that. And as far as everyone, let's think about the pull. Let's think about the pull. I mean, sometimes you just know. You just know it's the next thing. And for many of you, this is probably you right now. You know it's the next thing. I know for me, my pull to get into personal development, start learning, that the moment when I started learning, when I took learning serious, and I took every opportunity in my life to learn, this started when I was probably 25. I became a learner, and to this day, I'm still a learner. I read, study, take classes, analyze it, try it, go do it again. The learner thing is huge. But you just know, your gut says, here's what's next. Here's what's next. And like for me, just a couple of things along the way. I mean, I knew I need to learn this sales thing. And once I did, it ignited the fire under me, because I knew this was it. But along the way, it's like I just knew when it was time to jump and go to the business that I got into, the insurance business, that I just knew it was time. I had done some side hustles. I'd learned to sell. I'd tried it out. I'd tested it. I knew I could do it. And so it was time to take the jump and put my back against the wall and come out fighting. And then all along the way, it's like, oh, here's what's next. Here's what's next. You just kind of see it. You know what's next. Now, I know, then fast forward all the way to when I went to that Ziegler training, that was a very expensive thing. But at the time, I was in like a transition. I was like, had the insurance thing going, but I wasn't really getting after it. And because the boys were in there and they're starting to take off with it. And I was kind of had worked myself out of a job. Basically, I got some people in there that could do it, and I was not needed in the role I was at. So I'd worked myself out of a job. And the next thing was like this Ziegler thing. I went out there, and once I did, what it did, like, I didn't need this, but by getting myself in a different environment and looking at things and doing things different, all of a sudden I had a new vision. I had a new dream. I had a new idea. I had some things. I said, man, here's some blind spots that I have. I've got a whole new thing to work on here. And then I came back and got into Toastmasters. And it's like, you just know the next thing. And now the Toastmasters, I probably did that 3 years, just trying to figure it out and do it, practice it. It was all new material for me. And then along the way, I forced Macy to take this training. I'll tell you a little bit more with the training in a minute, but I forced her to take it. And she said, man, this is good stuff. I said, this is something. She said that. Now for me, I was doing it for my kids, for my family, because I knew it was that good. I knew it was really deep material and all that. But this is how we got into this. But it was just the next thing, the next thing. Your gut kind of tells you, you know. But along the way, that have been the freedom to be that free lion is what gives you that opportunity to do things like this. Now, let's talk a little bit about another thing about knowing and the cheap things and this, that, and the other. I mean, let's face it. Right now, today, education, online education, is a booming thing. It's a big thing, and it's a great thing, because so many people do have knowledge that they can put together into a course and sell it. That's a big thing, and that's wonderful. It is wonderful. The thing about this, though, that's not the way we approach this. We were not trying to put a course together to sell it. I put this together over time to teach to my staff, because I knew we needed that to make it. I needed all my staff to have this material and to do the way where things were doing. And then once my kids became of age, I started planting it in them because I knew they needed that to go out there and be that free lion. Whether they wanted to hear it or not, they were going to hear it. Eventually, you know, it might take hold, maybe it doesn't. But so that's how that kind of developed. It's like an organic, and the material in here is so deep. Now, why is it so deep? Because when Macy came to me and said, hey, let's teach this, let's take this out, people need this. And my thing back to her was, the only way that I'm willing to do this is if I know it will work. It can't be just a cheap course that you send out there and then you try to sell another one, then you try to sell another one. And just and so I said, I want to put it all, everything I've got, I want to put it all in one. I want to leave nothing off the table. And then I said, then we have to reinforce it with labs. You can't just give it to people and think they're actually going to go do it. They've got to have some labs. They've got to build some confidence around it. They need a little coaching. I said, if you do all that, then it will work. And that's the only way I'm willing to do this. And so that's the program. It's probably not the most efficient way of doing it, but it is the best way. So that's why. So when you go buy something cheap, that's kind of what you get. But your gut knows. And sort of a true story of me is I've been looking for, you know, we're doing some transitions within the thing. We're trying to get to the agency over to the boys and get things. We're trying to do some maneuvers, you know, to get things set up for the next whatever. And part of this thing, I got into things. Well, you know, I think I need to go look at a piece of rental property, maybe on the beach. I need to invest in some property. I got too much cash, need to do something. And so I started looking at that. And then I thought, well, you know, that's something we could actually use. And the first one we saw was like, man, this is so nice. It is so nice. And I almost pulled the trigger without even going to look at another one. But there's one thing that was missing. It did not overlook the ocean. I said, if I bring my wife in here, the one thing she loves to do is watch the ocean. And she doesn't want to come in here and look at a pool. She wants to look at an ocean. So we passed on it. And we looked over and over and over. And everything was like, no, no, no. You just know, your gut knows. And then all of a sudden you see one, it's like, that's it. Then all of a sudden the price is not where we thought we wanted to be. But at some point in time, the you got to buy what's worth buying versus just do something. And that's kind of what this course is. If you can go find something for, you know, $500 or $100 or $500 or $1,000 or $2,500, but this course is that course that's that valuable that you have to do this one. And it's worth every single penny. It's worth 700 times, 1,000 times more than what we're charging for it. And that's because the material is so deep and it's so organic and it's like genuine and honest the way it's been brought up in so many years of developing it. And develop it not in the purpose of development, but it organically developed. And remember, it's so valuable that I was teaching it to my kids before we're teaching it to you, because that's who I was trying to transfer this to. And the thing that kind of happens here, I talked about how when I went to the Ziegler thing, I kind of found some things about myself I needed to know. Now, I knew I had content, but I wasn't really planning on teaching it and delivering it, but I knew it was there. And I thought, well, Toastmasters, just kind of, just a little smicker of a vision, you know, when I went to Toastmasters. But when you go to these new things, it's amazing how you kind of find yourself, you kind of search for some things, you start learning something new, it gives you some new direction. It's just amazing what you do. So, but if you're that free lion, you can go out and search different jungles, different fields, you know, do different things because you know how to do it. You know the skills necessary. You can go do anything. All you have to do is learn it. I knew when I learned the sales thing that I could plug and play this into any business. All I had to do is go learn product knowledge and I could go sell anything. I just saw on how they're worried about the Green New Deal and all that, and so many people losing their job. But when you can sell, when you can go out and hunt and fish for yourself, you can always find something to land. You can always find something with this skill. So that's why it's that important of a skill. Now, the value of the program is truly 1,000 times more than the cost. I mean, if you're in business, all you have to do is make one sale or a couple of sales to cover that. It's like what would you lose if you didn't? Because it takes almost nothing to cover it. And if you're in leadership, you know, like one idea, one new thought, one new approach, it's worth, there's no telling what it's worth. I've been through so many trainings, through so many things, and maybe I just picked up one nugget. But every one of those nuggets start adding, they start compounding on top of each other. Now, this training, I think I can say confidence got more than a nugget or two. But all you need is one or two nuggets for it to be worth it. Because, you know, we practice what we preach. So we went out recently to take a course as a team. And we're going through all this one thing about Macy and Kat and everybody really, but when we take a course, I mean, we implement. We don't just take it. We like dive in. And that's one reason, honestly, I'll give Macy an attagirl on that, because she has always done that. I said, Macy, no matter what you do, you come back and implement it. You don't just learn it. You implement it. You do it. But we're all doing these things, or they are especially. And they went to the coach there, and they said, man, you guys are 10 steps ahead of anybody we've had in here. We just need to jump you to the next level. That's because we really are. The depth of the material and the work that's been done on this, it is 10 steps ahead of somebody who's trying to get something started. So let's just go back and talk about, remember, driven, determined, dreamer. Are you a driven, determined dreamer? And I'll tell you something else, that what about your spouses? This is a man thing. This is a leader thing. This is a husband thing. This is a father thing. This is not just a girl thing. And I know Mason Cat have a lot of female followers, but I can venture to say you should really get your husbands interested in this program. Is he a driven, determined dreamer? Are you? You ready to get out and hunt for yourself and be really good at it? Have the confidence to do it? Go put your back against the wall and go hunt and know you can find it? Do you have your trying motor on, as Hubert Humphrey says? Are you, keep that trying motor on, crank that trying motor back up. You've been defeated, feel down, feel whatever. The key is to keep trying. Once you keep trying, you'll find something. But you got to have the ignite the engine with motivation. So what is the deepest motivator, the deepest desire within you? Because many times we'll say, well, I'm motivated for this. I want to do this. I'm serving this. I'm blah, 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 blah. That's all fine and dandy, but there's something even deeper that you're not talking about, but there's something really deep in there. And so many times it may come from something in the childhood, something in the background, something that really has bothered you, something you've got something to prove. Maybe it's like a chip on the shoulder, you know, something that ignites that engine of motivation, because who motivates the motivator? You're the motivator now. You're the leader around the people around you. Who motivates the motivator? And it comes from deep within, and there's something in there. Have anything you want to share?
Hey, Loy.
Hey, Kat.
Hey. I can't get that visual of the lion that's in the cage and then the one that's free out of my head. Yeah. I first saw, I don't know if you saw the photo on Instagram of that. It's like a side-by-side of a lion that's caged and then the lion that's free. And what's so interesting about that concept, like, yes, there's that idea of, like, you're being caged and you're, like, kind of held back from all that you're meant to do. And, you know, like, the way you're literally created to work and stuff. And then what's so interesting, if you think about it, is the cage, like, it keeps you safe. It's almost like, I don't want to use the word excuse, but it's almost like, hey, I can't go do this. I can't. I don't know how, because I'm in a cage. And so you can almost throw your hands up if you're that caged lion and say, well, I can't, you know, I can see other people doing it, but I can't do it. Whereas the freedom, actually, it's kind of scary. Like, there's more risk when you're free. There's more opportunity for failure. And there's just a lot more unknown. So there's that lack of security, but at the same time, there's like infinite opportunity to do what you were created to do. And so I just think that picture of like animals in the wild versus being caged is like just such a great metaphor for learning the skills and really just growing into all that you're made to be, blossoming. Kind of with that, you know, we sent a text this morning. There are a lot of people who, you know, that you have questions. There are so many people who are just kind of, I don't want to say struggling with that freedom, but really navigating what does it look like to put myself out there and handle all the ideas and all the opportunity and all the questions I have about my business. And that is actually why we did the pop-up coaching call with me tomorrow. So tomorrow there's an opportunity to, well, today you can submit questions. Like, what's the one thing that you struggle most in growing your business? And when you submit that, like 10 people are going to be chosen to get on a call and have your questions like talk through, coach through, answered, really dig into maybe some mindset stuff or some actual strategies or skills or whatever the case may be. So you can really, you know, just get some clarity and get some traction in the areas that you want to grow in. That's going to be super, super fun. You can tell your friends that if they're struggling to grow their business, then they have the opportunity to do that as well.
And the thing is, there's really, you shouldn't be struggling to grow your business. You should be thriving and doing well at it. And there's a way to do that. There's some proven formulas and systems and this, that, and the other. And I really think you can talk about this, Kat, but it seems like so many students that come through, they end up exploding or doing well. And they just say that the new things that is given them is allowed that to happen. Don't you think it has really helped people to explode their business or at least grow it?
Yeah. And, you know, more than that, because we certainly can't control the rate at which people's businesses grow. But what we can do is teach you the skills that it can honestly happen however you want it to happen. I really believe that. And so it's really giving people that control to take their business by the horns and take it by the reins and really do something with it. And just see the potential, like seeing that potential is so exhilarating. And again, you're right, Loy, it's not struggling anymore. It's thriving. Even when you are in the planting season, like, right, you don't see the fruit yet, but you're planting and you just know that something great is coming. And that is the best feeling ever when you know that you're sowing the right seeds.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, because that goes back to the trying motor. If you keep trying, it will happen. It will work. And that's where that, you know, that desire, that dream and desire, that motivation. So, yeah, you just keep trying. Mm-hmm. But if you have some of these skills to go with it that you know how to go hunt, then it's going to work. You're not going to starve. You're going to find a way. Then you're going to thrive with some good food, you know, when it's all at some point in time. Here's Katie.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. I just wanted to add something that you were both kind of talking about with taking guide culture. I was in the winter cohort, and one thing that I was really surprised by that I gained from guide culture was the kind of what you guys are talking about in learning how to fish for yourselves and how to go out and know how to produce those results. But then also, with what we do, with what anybody does, especially those who, you know, follow you all, you know that sales is a life skill, and it's about serving people. And one thing that really stuck out to me was that sometimes in my business, I was trying to serve people the way that I wanted to serve them versus what they actually needed and how they actually needed to be served. And that was a huge eye-opener in taking guide culture, was learning, okay, what do these people actually need, and how can I serve them in that way and meet them where they're at, as opposed to serving them in the way that I wanted to. I hope I'm making sense in saying that, but, and it just goes into teaching them how to fish and what are they going to get from learning how to fish themselves, and how can I teach them how to do that. I hope I'm making sense.
It actually, I can like feel what you're saying. Actually, it's kind of funny because it kind of goes back to selling styles a little bit, because you can want it for someone, but if you're only saying it like how you think, then it really doesn't even help them. But when you say it in a way that they need to hear it, then it actually does help them, and you end up serving the purpose, which is really cool.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, very good. So this, And the thing is, if we're talking about the pull, if you have just a little bit of pull on something like this, it would be doing yourself a disservice not to pull the trigger, because the next cohort is going to be a while out. It's going to be several months out. And we don't know exactly what it is, but it won't be for several months. And so to let that kind of time pass, if you're feeling the pull, would be bad, because it's all an appetite. If you don't get it while it's hot, you may miss it. You may go get distracted and not come back to this. And it's one of these things where it really can be a life changer if you can get yourself in there and really engage and try and allow it to be. I know that this program that we're taking, we know so much of this, but by looking at it from a different direction and by doing the exercises, the applications that we need to do, it's allowing us to kind of like go deeper in our mastery of what we're doing here at Guide Culture. It allows us to look at a different angle and look at different principles and purposes. It just builds upon our skill. Don't you think, Kat?
Oh my gosh. The appetite metaphor. It's so crazy. I was actually just reflecting. I'm literally staring at trees, reflecting. I actually came across some journal entries from like a few years ago, and I've talked about these before, but not all of them, of course. And I used to pray for like a spirit of excellence. I literally wrote it. I can show them to you, Loy, and really wanting to do things well and wanting to grow. And it's like, Lord, like, make me the leader you want me to be. And but during that season, it's like so hot and cold, up and down, motivation, upset, motivated, upset, you know, discouraged. And then finally, it was really, truly after Clearly Confident where I got the how to the what. I finally knew how to do something about what God had put in my heart. And the appetite just keeps growing when you see and feel how good it is to, like, plant those seeds and see the fruit. It's just incredible.
Hey, let me read just a little something quick on Dennis Whatley. I found some more material on Dennis Whatley. There's a book out, and he has a little section in there. This is just a little something what he wrote. It's just so good. So they made, this is back when they made him the administrator of the Olympic athlete, of the psychologist of the Olympic athletes. Now, every one of these athletic, you know, sports, you know, gymnastics, soccer, whatever the sports were, each one of them had their own psychiatrist. And Dennis Whatley, he became sort of known. And so somebody brought him in and said, I want you to be over all this. So he walked into the room and he said, my nomination caused a furor. Imagine me going into the Olympic committee of 17 psychiatrists and psychologists, each of whom was an expert in their sport, figure skating, track, field, fencing, high jump, and all that. They said, who do you think you are? And Dennis said, have you ever heard of the administrator of NASA? And they said, no. And Dennis said, me either. I don't know his name. Look at me as somebody who's administering the sports psychology programs for the Olympics, but who's not going to take any credit. I don't know who to deal with. I don't know how to deal with each sport, but you do. You get all the credit. I will help you raise the money and work with athletes and teams with my psychology, but you're the guys. And they said, do you mean you're willing to subordinate your ego to let us do our thing? And Dennis said, absolutely. I wouldn't do it any other way. You know that. I learned more from the Olympians than they ever learned from me. But isn't that such a beautiful mindset? You know, he's not looking for the credit. He's not looking for ego. And the point is, he's trying to let other people have the win and be the hero. I just think that's a beautiful story that he told there.
That's confidence right there.
So anyway, just reading some Dennis Whatley, I had to just spread it out to you guys a little bit. All right, so that's all I have. You have anything else, Kat?
No, I think I've said enough. This was so awesome.
All right, we'll close it down and see you guys again on Friday.
See you Friday.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope this episode encouraged you in your journey. Come join us over at the Winner's Circle Facebook group of online entrepreneurs who are winning the game of life. The link is down in the show notes. We'll see you there.